This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll get back into sports with Cody Tapp. We'll go live to Surprise, Arizona to catch up with our guy Cody Tapp. We'll do that coming up in 30 minutes. Today's pop quiz presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Was Frozen. I think pretty self-explanatory why Frozen was picking. The winner got a large specialty pizza from the other place. We are happy to be joined in studio by dear friend of the show, all-around swell guy, AAF aficionado, draft expert, beer connoisseur, Jay Binkley. How you doing, man?
You want to grab the right mic, Binkley?
Oh, there we go. No,
come
I'm
on,
good
man.
To great, man. I'm usually on the other side over there. My bad.
It's all good. It happens, man. No worries.
Come on,
Binkley. I'm happy. Thanks for that introduction, C-Dot.
We appreciate you having on. So, BK, if you can step up to the mic, we need you. All right. What we are about to do, it is very simple. It is called the Pizza Toppings Draft. I don't know if you heard or not, but last week when we played Pick a Player, someone was absolutely incredible during Pick a Player.
He was the Patrick Mahomes of Pick a Player.
I mean, he was insane last week when it came to pizza toppings. So, we have decided today to do a pizza topping draft. The only rule to the pizza topping draft is it comes essentially as a standard cheese pizza. So, you can't draft cheese. It's already taken. Everybody gets cheese with their pizza. Everybody gets the basic tomato paste. And everybody gets the standard crust. That's it. That's all you get. And you also cannot go extra. So let's say that somebody takes pepperoni, which I assume will be drafted at some point. I cannot turn around and say extra pepperoni on mine. Pepperoni of any kind off the board. Does everybody understand the rules of the pizza topping draft?
We do. I do. Do you
got it?
Do you understand it, Binkley?
BK, yep. you got the rules? All right. You get four selections. If you want to say, I don't want any more picks, I don't want any more toppings, that's your choice. But you get up to four selections on your pizza. If you want to go out there with just a standard pepperoni pizza and lose in this draft, I'm not one to stop you, but you just forego your other selections.
Got it.
Those are the rules in the pizza topping drafts. We have determined the order. The order will go Jay Binkley, me, King C-Dot, Brad Fanning, and Brandon Kiley. That is
we
the
doing
draft.
Snake?
It is a snake draft. So you will get a double pick, 4 and 5. When it comes back around, Bink will get a double pick, 8 and 9. Those are the rules for the pizza topping draft. We now go live to the commissioner. Once again, King C-Dot, Jay Binkley, with the first overall pick in the drive pizza topping draft. Where are you going?
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, it was tough, but we finally sat down with the contract because obviously this topping wanted a lot of money. Pepperoni.
Oh, yeah.
It's the king of all toppings.
It really is.
So much upside, so much potential, there's so much money. This guy cost me some money, but I'm going pepperoni.
You like the big pepperonis? You like the smaller pepperonis?
What just kind of pepperonis? Just regular sized pepperonis,
man.
You
like the thick cut pepperoni, like the slim ones, or what do you
want? I just feel like this is a topping that couldn't be passed. Or it'd be a big risk for me not to take this with the first selection.
You ever had like the Totino's where you got the little chunks? I'm not a big fan of the chunk pepperoni.
That's full-size pepperoni.
I want the round ones.
Round, full-size pepperoni.
Gotcha.
With the second overall pick, I will take Italian sausage on my pizza. Italian sausage.
Point of clarification. Is that the same thing as just sausage?
Yeah, no. But,
you can get American sausage or Italian sausage.
Yeah, there's,
you have options.
There's different kind of sausages.
All right, cool.
Yeah, there's different kind of sausages.
Okay.
Or there's pepperoni. There's one kind of pepperoni.
Yeah.
All right. We're now moving on down the line. Brad Fanning, you have the third overall pick.
I'm going to go Canadian bacon. I think Canadian bacon's a solid pick. Number three overall when you're building a good pie. Canadian bacon is the pick.
This is a tough one because I've got the back-to-back picks going on right here. Tough,
double picks.
So you guys all got your meats already.
Mm.
I got to decide if I'm going...
You going to go some anchovies? Or what
if I'm going like strategically here, if I just got to get mine done as well. Mm. I think I'm going to go this way. Let's go with chicken.
Fancy pizza guy.
And pineapple. Mm. We'll go chicken and pineapple.
Chicken and pineapple off the board.
I can't fault that.
I mean, pineapple to me, if you're going in the draft, I mean, that's basically like drafting a punter or a kicker, isn't it? I think it kind of is.
No, special, absolutely not.
I mean, it's a specialist.
The problem is I've alienated half of our listeners because half of our listeners hate pineapple and the other half are like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
That's part of the strategy.
Understood.
That's part of the strategy. That's why you're losing.
Okay.
All right, so I got the next pick.
You're back.
Correct?
Number six pick.
Number six. All right, I'm going to go with this just because I like it, and I know I'm going to get made fun of. I got no problem with that. I can take the heat. I can wear it. I'm going to go with hamburger. I love hamburger on pizza, man. I think it's great.
Canadian bacon and hamburger.
Yeah. No, I like to give me the meats, man. Yeah, I like hamburger.
All right.
Hamburger.
the way BK said, all right, is great. With my number seven pick.
He's kind of like Heist, though. He's a fancy pizza guy. I think BK is, don't you think? He probably goes with the cauliflower crust.
No, I don't think he does that. I don't think he does that.
Okay.
I would have gone pepperoni, but obviously that's the number one pick.
With the number seven pick, I will select, forget that Canadian mess, give me the good old traditional U.S. of A. bacon on my pizza. Mm.
That's got a good start going here.
Bacon,
Italian
on
sausage
my pizza.
And bacon's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I got a draft strategy. I can tell you guys don't have a draft strategy. There's no way you have a draft strategy if you take Canadian bacon on your pizza and hamburger.
That sounds pretty good to me, man.
No way you have a strategy
good,
if that's
man.
What you're doing.
You put that on my pizza, I'll leave you alone.
Bink, you got the double dip here.
Yeah, I was going. Nice selection with that bacon. You beat me to the podium on that one. That was going to be my choice.
No, it was. I had to do it.
Well, this is very clear to me which direction to go. Onions. Mm. Everybody likes onions on their pizza, and I will top that off with the jalapenos.
Damn.
On my pizza. So the pepperoni, the onions, the jalapenos.
Makes sense.
That's a rough one. That's one that I needed.
Onions and jalapenos on your pizza.
That sounds awful, by the way.
That sounds fantastic. With that pepperoni?
No.
If you replace the onions with the pineapple that I've got, that's my ideal pizza. Pepperoni, jalapeno, and pineapple.
Pineapple does not belong on pizza, BK.
Well, we found one of the listeners.
You alienated me.
What do you got, Kamesh? King C. Dot. How many titles you have for this game?
King C. Dot.
I thought you were the commissioner, too.
You know what?
Mm.
I am actually going to forego my last two picks.
What?
Mm.
I think you guys are going to mess it up. Pepperoni, onions, and jalapeno. I'm good. I'm going standard Italian sausage and bacon here. I'm going traditional. I have a strategy when it comes to pizza, even when I order.
C-Dot before the segment. Hey, we need to do this two segments. C-Dot during the segment. Hey, I'm going to pass on my next two picks.
I'm passing on my pick. Let me give you guys my pizza strategy here. Let me give you my pizza strategy. I don't like to cross-pollinate with animals. I don't need a pig and a cow and a chicken all on my pizza.
Why not?
I'm keeping it straight pork. I'm keeping it straight swine on this. I'm going Italian sausage and bacon. The only thing I would consider is extra cheese, but that's it. You don't need anything
else. And that's
not
an option.
You don't need anything else with your pizza if I got those two. I'm out. Give me a nice, solid two-topping pizza. I'm done.
So
go ahead, Brad.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brad.
All right. I'm gonna go with mushrooms on there. I'm gonna put some shrooms on my pie.
Yeah, see, that was right.
I'm gonna put some shrooms.
See what I mean? Now you're doing too much.
No, it's all right.
All right, BK, you get the double pick. You get the double pick here.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do with your pie?
So the first one that I'm definitely gonna do, I gotta get hot sauce. I gotta add hot sauce to it.
You're a fancy pizza guy.
I'm not. I wanted the jalapenos. You got to get a little spice to go with the pineapple. You can't just have pineapple on there with no spice. Then it's just too sweet.
Yeah.
Can you imagine putting hot Louisiana hot sauce on your pineapple?
I'm not into like the taco
pizza. It's not Louisiana. It's buffalo sauce.
And like the barbecue pizza. If I want barbecue, I'm going to eat barbecue. If I want tacos, I'm going to eat tacos. I've never understood that.
You want to know how my guy
my guy BK, how he's taking that flight, that trip.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have a first-class flight to the bathroom here coming up in a little bit.
What's he got on there right now?
He's got chicken, pineapple, and hot sauce. Yeah, that's what he's going to have.
That's a good pizza right there.
That's what he's got.
Now I got to decide if I want to forego my final pick. That's the tough part here.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do here? Because you don't get the option to come back. You get four and that's it.
I know.
So it's are you ending with three?
I might have made a mistake here.
No, there's no you might have made a mistake. You made a mistake. Nobody was taking buffalo sauce in this draft.
Yeah, that's awful.
So here's my question. Am I allowed to replace that?
No.
No, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
What kind of question hey, is that? Am I allowed if to replace my pick?
I drafted Paxton Lynch. Can I go back on this deal now?
That's absolutely what happened.
BK's like the John Elway of the draft.
Yeah. Terrible.
We're going to go banana peppers. That's what I wanted to replace it with. Wow. I didn't think about banana peppers. We'll go banana peppers to finish this thing out.
All right.
Banana peppers. Okay, Brad, you have one more pick.
Been thinking about this one a lot, fellas.
I don't know how you're thinking about this thing. You're creating's awful.
I was looking at some of the exotic topics on there.
He's clearly about to put black olives on this thing.
No, man, I'm going green pepper.
Green pepper.
I'm actually
surprised that nobody changed the tomato paste.
You said
something a little bit different.
You couldn't.
No, I said you get that standard. You get the tomato standard. Yeah. If you want to have barbecue on your,
you meant like you have to have the standard.
That's what
everybody
I
gets
too.
The no, hand
get,
tossed.
I was saying is you can't draft tomatoes, so now we all have to get something else. You get the standard.
Yeah, no.
Well, that would have changed my strategy a little bit.
Well, you said you made that pick. Your pick's terrible.
So I got green peppers. Yeah,
I would have screwed it up somehow.
No, you absolutely would have taken it. I'm out. I'm done. I got a good, solid two-topic pizza.
Binky's got one more.
And you got one more.
What you got, Binky?
This is interesting.
What are you doing? Like, just make the pick.
I'm going to make this
You're on the clock.
I'm going to make this interesting.
You're on the clock.
Steak. Cut steak. Little steak chunks.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah.
What? With a little flat iron steak?
Yeah,
chop it up.
Haven't you ever like you've had
Philly steak,
Philly steak and stuff like that? Just chop steak.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Yeah, just chunks of
That's
steak,
not a bad
man.
Pick. I thought you were gonna screw.
BK
this
saying Philly steak, put it over the top because I thought you were talking about like steak
like
from
Philly.
Chipotle.
No, like a Philly steak.
Slice it up. Put it
slice,
on.
Slice.
Going to Seasons 52 and grabbing a steak. And
That's clearly what
it
happened.
Up.
All right, BK, go ahead and put this up on Twitter. These are all the ingredients. And our pizza, you got up to four. Bink has pepperoni, onions, jalapenos, and steak.
Mm.
I have just Italian sausage and bacon, and I chose to punt on my other two picks because I feel like that's a perfect pie.
You
there.
Feel like you got a good roster.
I don't need to do anything else.
Yeah.
I went in there with needs. I went in there with the strategy. I was good.
It's like drafting just Ricky Williams.
I'm good.
He did. He's the Mike Ditka.
Brad has Canadian bacon, hamburger, mushroom and green peppers.
That sounds pretty damn good to me.
BK has a bathroom concoction of chicken. Never told us if it was grilled, fried, just chicken.
A buffalo chicken grilled. Would have been just good. Grilled. That would have satisfied both.
Yeah.
Pineapple.
Chicken fingers on there. Is that what it is?
Hot sauce and banana peppers. BK could not have been any worse at this game.
I disagree.
You have by far the worst pizza.
Yeah, I
think Fanning has the worst pizza.
I don't think so. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I think it's between. I think Fanning's is pretty bad too.
What are you talking about, man?
I also got the last your back on here. Your pizza's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
I mean, your pizza I wouldn't order because I don't like mushrooms, but I can always pluck the mushrooms off.
Sure.
I can't pluck the hot sauce off the pineapples that BK's put on there.
You can't fix that.
No, it's over.
I would have at least gotten buffalo chicken if I was BK.
I mean, I'm gonna
That's what it is. It's buffalo sauce on top of chicken.
I'm going to win this, but that's
normal.
Yeah,
but you wasted an ingredient. You could have just said buffalo chicken, BK, and then got another topping.
He's in his rookie season, man.
He is a rookie. Bink, what you guys got planned tonight? You're going to be talking a lot of football. Just because I mean, it's going to be three people listening because of the weather. You're going to break down the you're actually, you know what's going to happen tonight on your show? You're going to predict the entire Chiefs draft and only like two people are going to hear it. It's going to be amazing, though.
Well, I appreciate that. No, we're definitely, Kent Swanson's going to join me. We're going to look at some of the Chiefs roster and who we don't care if they don't come back to the team this year. And of course, I'm going to talk NFL draft. because I always do.
You always talk the NFL draft.
Always. Every show.
You got, how many, you got your mock draft out yet on 610sports.com?
No, after Combine I did that.
Gotcha.
I've been asked that many times, but after the Combine.
Yeah. All right, after the Combine.
Got rules.
How many mocks you got going this year?
One per week. So okay. Last year I think I got up to 6.0.
Nice.
Well, that is our guy, Jay Binkley, at Three Guys in a Garage on Twitter. Bink, always appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Brad.
Well, coming up on the other side, we'll let you know how Twitter feels about our pizzas, and we'll catch up with Cody Tapp, our Royals insider from Surprise, Arizona. All that next coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about the two biggest stories right now in the NFL. But earlier today, Brad and I had the opportunity to catch up with our guy, Cody Tapp, who was down in Surprise, Arizona. Our conversation started with the number one question that many of you have. Who is the Royals player that is in the best shape of his life?
Oh, man. You know, amazingly, that hasn't been asked enough, but there aren't as many TV people down. I mean, look, Mount Gordon's always in the best shape of his life, right? He's getting older, so I guess not him. Frank Swindell, I saw him today. He was looking pretty in shape, if I were to be honest. But other than that, I mean, who knows, right? I thought Cuthbert looked like he had lost some weight. But really, all the position players aren't here, so I'm just looking at pitchers. And they've got pitchers' bodies. It's different.
The most interesting thing for me over the last couple of days has been the conversation around Ian Kennedy. What vibe are you getting from the Royals about what Ian Kennedy's role is going to be this year?
You know, it's funny because, you know, obviously we get a chance when you're around here, you get to stand around and talk to Dave, or talk to Ned, or even talk to Kennedy, and that audio I sent you guys yesterday kind of felt like a therapy session for him. And the more you talk to him, the impression I got is that they had kind of mentioned it, but they never really fully formed that conversation. And now the impression I get is that they're still picking him as a starter, but that's a conversation that at least they're starting to have. I think part of it is because they feel like they've got starting pitching gaps. And so they want to have an option for Kennedy if it presents itself. But I think other people are going to have to significantly outperform Kennedy for it to come that way. I don't think they're far enough down the road on that yet to think that it's going to happen. You know, opening day, Ian Kennedy's in the bullpen. And from Ian Kennedy's side, he seems open to it if it's in a high leverage role. It doesn't mean he'd shoot it down, but he was really down on, you know, what a middle relief role would look like, or mop-up duties, he called it. So I think the Royals are definitely kicking it around, but I don't think they fully form that idea until they kind of find out what guys look like in games.
Cody Tapp, our Royals insider. Cody, you saw one of Kyle Zimmer's side sessions a couple of days ago. How do he look, in your opinion?
Too hard. I don't have a gun on him, but you know, he was standing right next to Brad Keller yesterday, I think it was, and he threw 25 or 30 pitches. Throwing hard. Certainly, you go back and, you know, read that story, and he's throwing a drive line, throwing 60 miles an hour, and it's coming in pretty good beyond that. He threw a couple of breaking balls, too, and didn't look like he was laboring with it. I talked to him after that practice, and he said his arm felt okay. So early going, I'd say the signs are positive. He said he completely – some guys want to admit it, he completely changed his, like, physical routine coming in. But it's all about staying healthy for him and keeping his arm healthy. So I don't know if it's going to work out, but when I watched him throw yesterday, he's throwing hard. So, I mean, that's – and so velocity is there. He's throwing and healthy. I'm convinced if he's healthy, he's going to make the 25, man, just because I think his stuff is that good still.
I was just going to ask you, where's your belief at in Kyle Zimmer? That's pretty strong there, that if you think he's healthy, that he's making this club coming out of camp.
Yeah, and they got a lot of bullpen arms too, right? They just signed Diekman, and they picked up Boxberger last week. And so, and they've got a couple of Rule 5 guys, like a Nick Williams. And I still think that if Zimmer's healthy, he'll make the 25, man, because they gave him a Major League contract for a reason. We talked to him a little bit about the other clubs who were calling, and there were other clubs that called. I think in the end, you know, for him, it's always just been about health. The question with Zimmer has never been, can he get guys out? Can he? No, it's just, can he stay healthy? And so if he's healthy, I think he'll break camp on the roster.
Some of the comments that are making the rounds here in Kansas City, and you were there, so I want to get your opinion on this, because a lot of times you see a quote in print, or you just hear the little tiny part of it, and it gets taken out of context a little bit. Homer Bailey was talking about how he ended up in with the Royals, and he said, I put up a 6 ERA. When that happens, you're not going to end up in pinstripes. And I think that can be taken from a Royals fan standpoint of like, yeah, I just settled here in Kansas City. You were there for the entire interview. What was the vibe that you got from Homer Bailey when he said that?
And he still had choices. So, like, you know, he mentioned there were a lot of teams who called. I didn't take it as personal as I think some Royals fans did. And I get why Royals fans hate the Yankees, right? and he's talking about the Yankees. I don't think he's talking about the historically or the Royals historically.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about the Yankees, a playoff contending team in a starting rotation, and the Royals where they are in the starting rotation. And Homer Bailey more likely fits what the Royals, where the Royals are right now than where the Yankees are. I don't think there's any reason to take a personal right now. I get why you're like, oh, out of context. Boy, it's a pinstripes kind of. You're like, maybe phrase that differently in retrospect. But he seemed pretty genuine with us, and I don't think he was trying to take a shot at the organization. I think he was saying, you know, he wants to be a starter, and the Royals want to view him as a starter. And if you're going to be a starter in a rotation and you just posted a 6-earned run average for your second consecutive year, you're probably not going to a team that people are expecting to be, you know, at the tops of their division like the Yankees are this year. So I don't think there's any reason to take offense, honestly. And I thought he was being pretty genuine about it. I just think he probably, if he got to take it over again, he'd probably phrase it differently.
Anybody down there surprise you, Cody? You see somebody down there like, wow, didn't expect that. Looks good. Looks strong. I know we're only a couple of days into this thing.
You know, I guess that's the hard part. There's no one that jumps out at least right away. It was interesting talking to Dayton a little bit today about how they view the starters, because they told us they were thinking maybe they were only going to stretch out 10 guys this year to be starters at the major league level instead of typically they would do 12, because they want to make sure they get innings for all the young guys they're trying to figure out. So I think in the early going, I was trying to watch side sessions for guys like Scott Blewitt or Barlow, who I think are some of the guys that are going to stretch out. So they both look pretty good. I mean, you know, generally speaking, it's hard to tell just from side sessions, but at the very least, I'm keeping an eye on the rotation because I think there's at least one opening there, if not two.
Cody, one new story that kind of stood out to me today was at first base, where Ned was talking about possibly having a platoon with Ryan O'Hearn and Hunter Dozier. Who do you like more? What do you make of the concept of kind of splitting time with those two guys?
I want O'Hearn to get full-time back because he hit lefties okay in the minors, and he said himself, like his exact quote yesterday was, I don't want to be a platoon guy. He wants to be able to hit lefties so that he can stay in there. I'm fine with Dozier or Witt or Owens getting some time at first, but it's not like a real solution to me. Teams don't carry two first basemen. I get it. Like if it were a dream world and it was 30-man rosters, I think you'd have Frank Swindell on the roster and you wouldn't worry about his plate appearances and you'd put him at first every time they faced a lefty, right? I like the options okay at first. I don't love any of them, which to me means more time for O'Hearn, which is actually good. You know, I don't want them to keep shoving Witt around. And part of that, Carrington, is because, you know, today he was pretty open with Chris Owings, and he's like, oh, he's pretty much going to play every day, but it's just going to depend on where he plays, right? So if O'Hearn gets a day off, maybe Owings is at first, or Dozier's at first and Owings at third. I think you're going to see a lot of, like, moving around Owings and Dozier just to try to get that around. But honestly, I kind of hope they let O'Hearn hit lefties, because there's only one way to find out if he can do it, right? Let him try to hit lefties. They were really careful with him last year.
And that is our guy, our Royals insider, Cody Tapp, joining us today on The Drive. Cody, do me one favor while you're in Surprise, Arizona, and eat all the Whataburger you can.
Will do. Will do. No problem there.
So always good to catch up with our guy, Cody Tapp. Appreciate talking to him. Maybe I am very premature with this, and I'm one of the few people that thinks this. I don't know if the whole Hunter Dozier thing's going to work. It's something about Dozier that, like, I just don't see it, you know, that I think. Just like how we were talking about yesterday, how people will say, well, you know, Ian Kennedy can't work as a starter. Look what they did for Luke Hochaver. That I think there's this belief that with some of the position guys, they're just going to instantly be like, Dozier's going to be the next Moose or be the next Eric Hosmer.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I question now what Hunter Dozier's ceiling is and if he can be the player that people maybe thought he could be 3-4 seasons ago.
I mean, I question it because if they're going to be moving guys around, that to me gets my attention. I don't want to see guys moved around a ton, to be honest with you. If they're going to move Hunter Dozier over to first base, that means they're not sure, that, or at least they're fairly sure, at least at this point, that he can't be their everyday third baseman. That's kind of what it tells me. I think you know who your shortstop is. I don't understand why they want to move Witt around a bunch either. I don't like that idea. You know, just leave him at second base and let him play. And the biggest thing with Ryan O'Hearn is that he can't hit lefties, or he needs to learn how to hit lefties, and that's kind of why they were pulling him out of the lineup. I'm not big on this bouncing these position guys around. I want to find out what they can do and be at one position. I don't think Dozier has the arm for third, to be honest with you, based on some of the stuff I've seen. I'm not as certain you are on Dozier yet, CDOT, but I just don't know yet. And, you know, it's like certain guys you see and you know. Like, you know Mondesi's a big leaguer. You know Mondesi is going to be the guy. You know Witt now is a big leaguer. You know that Jorge Soler has the power to be a big leaguer. With Dozier, I'm not sure yet, but I'm not ready to close the book on him.
I'm just looking at right now how old he is, and maybe that's a little wrong to do.
He's a college guy, too.
He's 27, though. I feel like if he's going to be the guy that you think he's going to be, it's either going to happen this year or it's probably not going to happen. Like, I don't want to now the same way that I don't think every I don't think every failed starter can turn into Wade Davis.
Sure.
I don't think that every player at 28 years old can just instantly turn into Whit Merrifield where they start playing their best baseball by 28. We agree, for the most part, you show a little bit more flash. You show a little bit more ceiling than where Hunter Dozier is. I mean, he's going to turn 28 during the middle of the season. That's not normally, typically, where athletes start to figure it out. Typically, they have it kind of figured out by 23, 24, and then they are, like, starting their peak in their prime. I would say Dozier hasn't even gotten close to that yet.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things there. First off, he battled injury and missed the majority of, what, the 2000, I think it was the 17 season, I believe. I'd have to go back and look at that. Yeah, I think it was the 2017 season. He missed the majority of that season with an injury. The other part of that, too,
he got a lot of opportunity last year.
Well, though. I know, but here's the thing, though, C-Dot. I mean, he was drafted as a shortstop out of Stephen F. Austin. And they bounced him around. They're trying to figure out a spot for him. So they moved him to the outfield in the minors, see if that would work. They put him at first base a little bit last year and in the minors. And now they've got him at third. And he got a lot of time over at third once Musa was traded to the Milwaukee Brewers. I think they're trying to figure out where he fits. And again, when you've got to change multiple positions, it's gonna change, or at least delay, in my opinion, finding out what you can do. But I'm with you. Like, I'm undecided on Dozier, at least at this point, about being an everyday big league player on a really, really good team.
And I just think the time is kind of starting to run out a little bit when it comes to him and kind of where they're at. Some other Royal stuff that I thought was fairly interesting today. I saw a story earlier today on Roto World about Moose and there being some possible interest in the Los Angeles Angels towards Mike Moustakas. Man, I certainly hope he gets to go to the Angels, because I feel like Moose has been wanting to play for the Angels for the last 3 years. I feel like last year in free agency, there was nothing more than he wanted to be a Los Angeles Angel. But then they made a couple different signings, and he wasn't in their plan anymore. Now that he gets that second opportunity, and we see once again how slow it was, because I feel like last year it was, hey, I know that this is a different kind of free agent market, but next year it's going to be. I think we've reached the point that this is just the free agent market, that last year was not an anomaly. It's just how free agency is going to go, because there was the conversation last year that this year is going to be different because you have Bryce Harper, because you have Machado. We are now past Valentine's Day. Neither one of those guys have signed. I have no clue, and neither one of them are going to sign.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that next year's free agency class is not going to be any different. This is just how free agency works now in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I think teams are getting smart and saying, why do we want to invest, you know, give out 8, 9, 10-year contracts and pay guys a ton of money? I mean, Miguel Cabrera is going to make $30 million well into his 40s, you know, which is ridiculous. And he can't stay healthy right now. I think it's more of an economics thing than it is a collusion thing, even though I think there might be a little bit of collusion out there. But I think it's more like, hey, let's get as much bang for our buck as we possibly can. And it kind of sucks for these guys that put in their time and they hit free agency, and now the philosophy, at least when it comes to money, is changing big time in baseball. I'm not saying there's not collusion out there, because it sure smells like it to me. I'd like to see Moose with the Angels, too. I mean, I think Moose wants to be back in Southern California.
This is bad for the sport, what's happening right now with the free agency class.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it. And I think you're right. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on with baseball right now that force players to go into other sports, right? I mean, we saw what Kyler Murray did. He was a top 10 draft pick of the Oakland A's, got a $3.6 million signing bonus. If he wanted to play baseball, he chose football. He's going to the combine. It's tough. You're right. Like, if you're a top end talent, you get a big time signing bonus when you're drafted. You're almost guaranteed to get to the big leagues. And when you get there, you know, one of the rewards is, if you get there, that's one thing. If you can stick, that's another. And if you can get to free agency, that's what you want. And now guys are getting to free agency, and they aren't getting the monster deals that they used to get.
I think the big difference, I think, with all the other sports when you compare it to baseball is the other sports seem to have an understanding of our interest 24/7, 365 in the league is what draws it. At the NBA, the trade deadline, it's a huge deal. They make it up, and big trades normally happen. NBA free agency, we all know when it starts. It's a big deal. Signings happen. NFL free agency, we talk about it a lot, what your team needs. And then on one day, the big-time free agent sign. What's the big time day that free agents sign? Like, what is the day in the offseason where interest kind of get pushed?
Because there isn't one.
Because winter meetings used to kind of be that. We used to all look to the winter meetings, and then when they go there, your big time guys were going to sign. then that just doesn't happen anymore. That I feel like baseball on a national level certainly needs to create more days in which people are more interested in the sport. I would say those days are starting to shrink and shrink from even a couple years ago. It seems like now the only days that people care about baseball nationally are the World Series, which you can probably argue that. And I would say opening day. Maybe you could throw in the All-Star game of the time when people
trade
care
deadline,
about
July 31st, somewhat, right around. But it's not really that deadline. I mean, it's the weeks leading up to it.
And then, I mean, I would say it's a little bit different because there's a trade deadline, but then afterwards, trades still happen.
Yeah, that's weird. That's the weird part.
Which just makes it weird. NBA, that's the trade deadline. Nobody else, now, you can get cut, and then that's like any sport, and then if you clear waivers, you can do all that. Like, to me, baseball, I would say what's happening now in free agency and how slow it is and the lack of interest in it when it comes to it, that is really starting to hurt the sport, where it used to be a select day or a time where if you were a fan, you would get excited. But, I mean, think about how long baseball season is. It's already started again, and two of your marquee guys. It's one thing for a guy like Moose to get signed, who we agree is a tier three free agent. I mean, Bryce Harper has a chance to be in the Hall of Fame. Manny Machado has a chance to be in the Hall of Fame. How has free agency gone this long, and they haven't signed a contract yet?
It's a great question, and I think that's the biggest one, because you remember going into last offseason, One of the thoughts, at least one of the ideas out there, one of the theories out there, was that, you know, the reason that guys like Haas weren't signing, Moose was still out there, some of the top free agents were still out there, is because some of these teams were building up their war chest to go out, you know, for the Machados, for the Bryce Harpers, and that hasn't really turned into that. I think the frustrating thing from a fan standpoint, with so many free agents still out there and on the market, is you kind of want to know who your team is going into spring training if you're a fan. I mean, I think in Kansas City, we have a pretty good idea who we're going to have. But you want to know who your team is. You want to learn about your guys. You want to know, okay, that's my team going into spring training. Here's what I know to focus on. And a lot of the teams don't have that right now.
Coming up in just a little bit, the two biggest stories in the NFL, we'll get to them. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win a prize during Pick a Player coming up in 20 minutes. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll give you a chance to win a prize today in Pick a Player. I believe we have $25 to Twin Peaks. That will be our prize today for Pick a Player. You will once again be going up against Brandon Kiley. We'll do that the entire month of February because it's been a very profitable thing for you, the listener. Brandon isn't
not
very
accurate.
Good at the game.
It's not accurate.
He's very bad at the game.
Today probably, was a bad one, though.
He's probably going to lose at the game, and you will win, and then you'll win
$25.
Pizza, no, he's bad at it. So I would say right now in the NFL, aside from Colin Kaepernick, and we can talk about that in a segment if you want to, the two biggest stories in the NFL are Antonio Brown and Kyler Murray. Let's start with Antonio Brown, the guy that's actually in the NFL. You guys can go ahead and mark this down. I think that Antonio Brown gets traded during the combine. I don't really think the Steelers want or can allow this to continue to go on for as long as it has. So, you want to think back during the course of the regular season, Antonio Brown goes AWOL, doesn't play week 17. We then fast forward. There's the back and forth stuff. His court stuff finally got settled. Mm-hmm. He then goes on Twitter and then publicly requests a trade. Today, from Ian Rappaport, no reason not to trust it. Ian Rappaport's probably the second best NFL reporter out there behind Adam Schefter. Sources, Steelers owner Art Rooney is down in Florida where he has a place. And he hoped to meet with frustrated wide receiver Antonio Brown to clear the air. Brown has no plans on meeting with Art Rooney, as he has stated his intentions publicly. Talks on AB's future will ramp up in Indy. And then an hour later, Ian Rappaport doubles back and then says Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown will now meet with Art Rooney II, showing respect to the man in charge, sources said. It then continues on. He has another development. Antonio Brown has requested a trade. The Steelers have not yet decided what to do, but at the very least, the owner will now get to sit down with one of his best players to clear the air and see what will happen moving forward. I don't think the Steelers can allow Antonio Brown back into that locker room. Think about what happened with Le'Veon Bell during the holdout. Remember that big scene where they were going through his locker and they were taking his stuff? Like, the Steelers, at least from the outside looking in, do not appear to be a very together unit. They do not appear to have everybody on the same page. They do not appear to have everybody working and pushing in the same direction. Part of the problem, whether you think it was Le'Veon Bell, is gone. Now they're going to try to transition tag him. We'll see what happens. Le'Veon Bell is not playing another game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would say step two has to be getting Antonio Brown off the team. I'm sorry, it's caused way too much of a distraction. And the Steelers, we can agree, are way too much of a proud organization, one of the pillars of the NFL, to continue to allow a wide receiver like Antonio Brown to essentially hold him hostage. I mean, publicly acting out, doing all this kind of stuff, you can't allow him at the end of it, because if these NFL teams care as much about distractions as they claim, we can agree every single time Antonio Brown is there, I'm going to ask you a question about it. And if he went AWOL, what was it, three times last year during the course of the season, what is stopping Antonio Brown from doing the exact same thing next year? It's going to continue to be a shadow. I think we'll see in the next 2 weeks. I think by the end of the combine, whenever the teams break from Indianapolis, I think Antonio Brown is going to be on another team.
I'm
going
to go back to the quote that I always use. I mean, cemeteries are filled with people that thought they were irreplaceable. Antonio Brown thinks he's irreplaceable right now. And Antonio Brown is out of freaking control, man. He is. Throwing stuff off balconies, almost hitting a grandpa and his two-year-old grandson, driving 100 miles to try to get to the practice facility, all the other stuff that goes along with Antonio Brown. It's too much. If I was the Steelers owner, I wouldn't even meet with him. I wouldn't even take the time to go see him. I would trade him or cut him and say, get the hell out of here.
I mean, you're definitely not cutting him.
Well, I know, but I mean, I would do whatever I possibly could to get this guy off my football team. I mean, Russell Westbrook said something a couple of days ago that really got my attention, and from the Oklahoma City Thunder. The quote is basically this: I've been blessed with the talent to not give a blank. And that's kind of what I think Antonio Brown thinks right now. I don't know about you guys, but the NFL seems to be just fine when great players are gone or out of there. The league's going to continue. Antonio Brown's not self-aware. Antonio Brown's got a case of the self-importance. He's a great player, no doubt about it. One of the best. But I got to tell you something, man. The NFL's bigger than you. And the NFL will continue whether you're in it or not, and people will watch. Steelers fans will not quit going to games because you're not a Pittsburgh Steeler. This dude's ego is out of freaking control. And if I'm the Steelers owner, I'm not even spending the time to go meet with the dude. I've had enough of him. You know, I mean, that's the way I feel about it. Antonio Brown is a great story, too. Coming out of Central Michigan, nobody knew who the hell he was. He came up and he became the best receiver in the NFL, or one of the best. And now he's pulling this stuff. I'm like, you're done. You're too much of a pain in the ass. You're out of here.
It sounds to me like you wouldn't even trade for Antonio Brown.
I wouldn't touch him. No, I would not. Why would you? I mean, I wouldn't. I'm not dealing. I mean, there's certain things with guys that are mega talented that you can deal with. Antonio Brown's crossed the line on this thing. So I'm done. No, I don't want him in. I don't want him in my locker room. I don't. Unless you have, man, you would have to have like an Andy Reid type coach, a Bill Belichick type coach, or somebody on your staff that can get through to Antonio Brown. I don't understand what his problem is. I really don't. Again, the NFL is going to be fine without Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown seems to think that it won't be if he's gone. You say this all the time. Fans root for the jersey, for the team, not the individual player. Talented players leave all the time. Talented players fail for whatever reason all the time. And the league seems to be doing just fine. And it'll be just fine without Antonio Brown.
I'm very curious to see where he goes, because I still think Antonio Brown has a whole lot of value. You know, I do think he is pigeonholing the Steelers into it, where if I'm an NFL team, I'm going to press you of, man, every day that he's on the team, you run the risk of him doing something on social media that continues to make you look bad. So I think it's your best interest to try to do it sooner rather than later, before you take less than what you want to take for Antonio Brown. If I'm a team that kind of feels like I'm close, that I'm maybe missing one explosive weapon, if I'm a team like Seattle that could certainly use to give my franchise quarterback a little extra help, if I'm a team like Indianapolis, who certainly has a lot of cap space and a quarterback and a division in which is a little bit vulnerable right now, Antonio Brown still holds a lot of value to me, just based off he's still one of the five best receivers in the league.
I get it. Talent-wise, he's great, man. I mean, talent-wise, he's fantastic. Nobody can argue that, but he's a giant pain in the ass. So you want to pick up, let's say he won't come to the Chiefs, and it's not a fit, and it's not going to happen. But let's just say he goes to a team with similar weapons. Obviously not Mahomes, but similar weapons. You got a really, really good tight end. You got a great number one wide receiver. You add Antonio Brown, you're thinking he's the missing piece. Wait till Antonio Brown gets four targets, two catches, and the other guys get more. And then see what happens with Antonio Brown. You want to go there? I don't. At all. I don't. So I think Antonio Brown, and again, this is the stuff that drives me nuts about really super talented players. I say this all the time on the show. I mean, self-sabotage and behavior like this just ruins their career. And I think Antonio Brown's going to wake up one day, he's going to be like 38, 39. Maybe he's in his 40s. He goes, God, I was an a-hole. Man, look what I did. You know, because now I'm mature enough to sit back and realize that I really ruined a really good opportunity. You know, and at least I hope Antonio Brown gets to that point. And I'll go back to something, and this is something that I've noticed over the last, and BK brought up this story a couple of days ago. It's called the 48-hour, what is it called, BK, like the 48-hour challenge?
Yeah.
That these teenagers are doing right now. So basically what the goal is to somehow disappear for 48 hours to the point where their picture gets put on social media. That's the goal. And if you do it, you win the challenge. In the process, you scare the crap out of your parents. You force police and first responders and all these people to hunt for you. Right now, people want attention, whether it's good or bad. It does not matter. And I feel like that's what Antonio Brown's doing. I just want attention. I don't care if I look like an a-hole. I don't care if it's legal, bad attention. I don't care if it's good attention. I want the spotlight on me. And that's not the kind of guy I want on my football team.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win a prize and pick a player, $25 at Twin Peaks. But Kyler Murray, as it appears, his NFL sights, I don't know what you want to put the term on it, prospects is probably the best way to say, seem to be getting brighter. You're kind of hitting the not-so-fast button on Kyler Murray.
No, I am, absolutely, because I went back and I was thinking about this. And I think Kyler Murray's like was a really, really fun college football player to watch. Like he was a little bit like Trae Young was with Oklahoma basketball last year. Like I wanted to watch Kyler Murray. I wanted to root for Kyler Murray. And you know, and since I'm more of a baseball guy than anything, I love the fact that a guy that got drafted by the Oakland A's won the Heisman Trophy. And then he chooses football, so then I look like a moron. But yeah, the thing with Kyler Murray is this. He started 14 games and he's 5'9" on a good day. And so now he's the number one pick in the NFL draft. I mean, I went back and I was looking at some of the at what some of the quarterbacks in the NFL have done in terms of number of games that they've played. You know, I mean, Mahomes started, what? He played in 29 games. Mitch Trubisky appeared in 31 games. Overall, Murray was in 29 games, but he only had 14 starts. Mahomes started 29 of those games, appeared in many more. Deshaun Watson, you know, started, what, 30 games? Appeared in two national title games. So we've got an undersized guy at 5'8", 5'9", that got 14 starts in college football. And we're going to make this guy the number one overall pick or a first-round draft pick? I'm not ready to go there with him. I'm not.
It seems like more of your problem, I guess, with anything is the size and not the experience. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, Mitch Trubisky didn't have a whole lot of starts. Cam Newton didn't have a whole lot of starts.
Which was something that we talked about. Well, Cam Newton also won a national title in junior college. So it's not like he just sat on the bench and didn't play. I mean, Cam Newton, he was at Florida behind Tebow, transferred, I think it was to Blinn Junior College, a national title and got plenty of starts against good competition, and then went to Auburn.
We also agree that Kyler Murray, during the time of sitting, the kind of athlete he is, he very easily could have done the exact same thing, just seeing what he did last year at college football. Kyler Murray very easily could have went to Hutchinson Junior College and just completely ran through that league because of how athletic he is. Like, Kyler Murray is a tremendous athlete in high school, never lost a football game, went to Texas A&M, then transferred, chose to sit out for the year at Oklahoma. Obviously, athletic enough to get drafted by the Oakland A's. My only issue with Kyler Murray is just the size issue. I just think that he is too small to consistently hold up in the NFL, and I think a lot of the things that you saw in college football with the kind of running around and doing all those things, I just don't know if you can do it for 8 to 10 years of the size. The experience thing doesn't really bother me as much with Kyler Murray. It's way more of a size thing than an experience thing for me.
Well, I mean, if you combine the size thing with the experience thing, that's the part that gets my attention. I mean, I should be, I'm rooting for Kyler Murray, man. I'm a short guy, all right? Short guys don't get a whole lot of opportunities to play professional sports. They're not out there, man. And so I root for Kyler Murray. I'm just like, you want to take a first-round pick on a guy that had 14 college starts and is 5'8", 5'9", and that's who you're going to build your team around as your franchise quarterback? For me, it's too big of a risk.
Going back, were you a fan of Johnny Manziel?
I was a fan of the way he played. I was worried about him going to the NFL, absolutely. I thought he was a wild man. I would have drafted him.
No, I'm talking like the player, like the prospect.
The way he played, but Johnny Manziel was, was Manziel 6 foot? 5'10", 5'11", something like that?
I mean, everybody's bigger than Kyler Murray. You're bigger than Kyler Murray.
Well, I don't know about that.
He's not that big.
But I think Johnny Manziel, at least from a physical standpoint, had a better chance to succeed than Kyler Murray. Johnny Manziel's a knucklehead, so, I mean, that's what sunk him. But and Johnny Manziel won some, and he played down in the SEC, too. I don't know. I felt better about Johnny Manziel than I do Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray's a better dude. I think he's a better athlete, for sure. But he's got 14 starts, and he's 5'8". You're telling me that's a guy that's going to go kill it in the NFL just because Baker Mayfield and Russell Wilson have done? I'm not buying it, man. I just, if I'm an NFL team, I would not spend my first round pick and try to build my franchise around a 5'8 quarterback.
Coming up in 2 minutes, we need four callers, 913-576-7610. Pick a player, brought to you by Ag Power. We'll play it next. We'll continue to have you go up against Brandon Kiley, and I'm telling you, if you call and get through, you will absolutely win today and pick a player, because BK was, he was worse than the weather outside today and pick a player. We need four callers, 913-576-7610. All that coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.